After a few minutes of order, Judge Miller ordered Williamson brought in again. In the holding room, the guards had explained to Ron that his behavior was inappropriate for a judicial setting and that further outbursts would be dealt with sternly. But as they let him in, he began cursing Dennis Fritz as soon as he saw him. The judge sent him back to jail, cleared the courtroom of all spectators, and waited an hour. Back in the jail, the guards ramped up their warnings, but Ron didn't care. Bogus confessions were all too common in Pontotoc County, and he couldn't believe the cops had squeezed one out of Dennis Fritz. Ron was an innocent man and determined not to be persecuted like Ward and Fontenot. If he could get his hands around Dennis's neck, he would shake out the truth. His third entry was identical to the first two. As he stepped into the courtroom, he yelled, "Fritz, we're going to settle this now! You and me is going to settle it!" Judge Miller interrupted him, but Ron didn't slow down. "Me and you is going to settle it!" he yelled at Dennis. "I ain't never killed nobody!" "Hold him there," Judge Miller said to the guards. "Mr. Williamson, any further outbursts of anger, this hearing will be conducted without your presence."
"That'll be fine with me," Ron shot back.
"Okay, you understand. I'd rather not be here. If you don't mind, I'd rather go back to my cell." "You wish to waive your right to be present in the preliminary hearing?"
"Yes, I do."
"Nobody's threatening or forcing you to do this. This is your own personal—"
"I'm threatening,"
Ron snapped, glaring at Dennis. "Has anybody threatened you? This is your own personal decision to waive your—"
"I said I'm threatening."
"Okay. You do not wish to appear at this hearing. Is that correct?"
"That's correct."
"Okay. You may take him back to the county jail. Court record will reflect that the defendant, Ronald K. Williamson, does waive his right to appearance in this courtroom due to his outbursts of anger and total disruption. And the court finds that this hearing cannot be conducted with his presence based on, to his current statements to this court and outbursts." Ron went to his cell, and the preliminary hearing proceeded. In 1956, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a case known as Bishop v. United States, ruled that the conviction of a mentally incompetent person was a denial of due process. Where doubt exists as to a person's mental competency, the failure to conduct a proper inquiry is a deprivation of his constitutional rights. After Ron Williamson had spent 2 months in jail, no one involved in his prosecution or defense had questioned his mental competency. The evidence was blatantly obvious. His medical history was extensive and readily available to the court. His rantings in jail, though somewhat regulated by the arbitrary dispensing of medications by his lawyer and his jailers, were clear warnings. His reputation in Ada was well known, especially to the police. And his behavior in court had been seen before. 2 years earlier, when the state attempted to revoke Ron's suspended sentence on the escape charge, he so completely disrupted the hearing that he was sent to a mental hospital for evaluation. Presiding then was John David Miller, the same Judge Miller who was now holding the preliminary hearing. It was Judge Miller who had adjudicated him to be mentally incompetent at that time. Now, 2 years later, and with the death penalty at issue, Judge Miller evidently saw no need to inquire into Ron's state of mind. Oklahoma had a statute that allowed a judge, including one presiding over a preliminary hearing, to suspend the proceedings if the competency of a defendant became an issue. No motion from the defense was required. Most trial lawyers would argue strenuously that their client had a history of mental problems and should be evaluated. But absent such a plea, it remained the judge's duty to protect the constitutional rights of the defendant. The silence of Judge Miller should have been shattered by Barney Ward. As defense counsel, he could have requested a complete psychological evaluation of his client. The next step would have been to seek a competency hearing, the same routine procedure David Morris had pursued 2 years earlier. A final step would have been an insanity defense. With Ron out of the courtroom, the preliminary hearing proceeded quietly and in order. It ran for several days, and Ron never left his cell. Whether he was competent enough to assist in his own defense made little difference.